Chapter 2. Seaburn Organization's Capabilities and Training. This chapter is divided into two sections. Seaburn units and staffs provide a mix of expertise and capabilities to commanders in support of joint and Army operations in a complex Seaburn environment. To provide these capabilities across the Army, the Chemical Corps provides an echeloned array of Seaburn soldiers, staffs, and units that can integrate with maneuver forces and provide the necessary expertise and capabilities. Section 1 provides information for commanders and staffs at all echelons to understand Seaburn organizations, their capabilities, and their limitations. Section 2 provides information on Seaburn training. Section 1. Seaburn Organizations and Capabilities. Seaburn staffs and units are organized into scalable, tailorable, and multifunctional formations that can best support joint and Army operations. The tailorable force increases the mission command and sustainment capability for battalions and is responsive to and aligned with BCTs, divisions, and corps. Seaburn staffs are limited in size and capacity across all echelons. Seaburn operations are not the sole responsibility of the Seaburn staff, but they must be integrated and executed across staff sections. When Seaburn incidents occur, logistics, medical support, maintenance support, and every staff section is impacted and quickly overwhelmed if they are not prepared collectively to execute large-scale combat operations under Seaburn conditions. The balance of actions taken by Seaburn platoons, companies, and battalions falls into the functions of assess threats and hazards and mitigate Seaburn incidents. Seaburn units are primarily tasked with assess tasks, such as reconnaissance and surveillance, and mitigate tasks, such as decontamination. However, it is a leader's responsibility to ensure that all soldiers train and execute tasks which support assessing, protecting against, and mitigating Seaburn hazards. Table 2-1 in the print version of this publication provides a matrix of the capabilities for conducting Seaburn operations that exist at different echelons and units. See ATP 3-11.36 and ATP 3-05.11 for detailed information about Seaburn staffs, organizations, and detachments across the Army and other services. Figure 2-1 in the print version of FM 3-11 describes an example for the alignment of Seaburn assets across two corps and against a peer threat. This example includes units from multiple components. A Seaburn brigade that is supported by two Seaburn battalions and that is composed of five chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosives Seaburn companies, an area support company, and a WMD coordination team would be at the geographic/theater combatant command level collocated with the theater command. Area support companies are located at seaports of debarkation and aerial ports of debarkation to provide assessment and mitigation for joint reception, staging, and onward integration support. A Special Forces Chemical Reconnaissance Detachment within the Special Forces Group provides support for CWMD operations. In the Corps AO, a Seaburn brigade or battalion is assigned with a mix of Seaburn units to support the consolidation of gains. In the Division AO, each division has a Seaburn battalion in direct support with a hazard response and biosurveillance company to provide an enhanced assessment and mitigation capability to close and consolidation areas. Each BCT has a hazard response company that is in direct support to it, increasing the capability to assess and mitigate Seaburn hazards at tempo. Seaburn Command. The Department of the Army organized the Seaburn Command as a full-spectrum, deployable, operational-level command to manage existing Seaburn and Explosive Ordnance Disposal, EOD, response assets. The Seaburn Command is a JTF-capable headquarters that is capable of deployment in support of a wide range of CWMD and Seaburn activities. The Seaburn Command integrates, coordinates, deploys, and provides trained and ready Seaburn and EOD response forces. It exercises mission command of Seaburn and EOD forces in support of joint and Army force commanders. When the Seaburn Command Operational Command Post is deployed, it is capable of integrating with the supported command headquarters staff or of operating as a separate element to conduct Seaburn EOD and CWMD planning, and has the capacity to execute simultaneous missions within and outside the continental United States across unified land operations. The Seaburn Command maintains technical links with the appropriate joint federal and state Seaburn and EOD assets and with research, development, and technical communities to assure response readiness. The Seaburn Command can provide support through specialized teams, WMD coordination teams, nuclear disablement teams, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high-yield explosives analytical and remediation activity, CARA, and the Area Medical Laboratory, AML. WMD coordination teams are provided through the Seaburn Command to supported and supporting headquarters at the division level and above to allow liaison and advice across the spectrum of Seaburn threats. WMD coordination teams provide specialized Seaburn staff augmentation and technical subject matter expertise to support planning and coordination for countering Seaburn and WMD threats in support of operational and theater requirements. The teams are composed of deployable Seaburn, EOD, and nuclear experts who have organic intelligence and communications assets and can advise supported divisions, corps, Army Service Component Commands, or other organizations on Seaburn planning and operations. The Seaburn Command is supported by two deployable field laboratory elements, the AML and CARA Mobile Expeditionary Laboratories. Both Mobile Expeditionary Laboratories provide advanced technologies for theater validation identification. The CARA maintains remediation response teams to conduct the assessment and remediation of recovered chemical warfare material in the CONUS and OCONUS. The AML has a robust diagnostic capability to detect and identify a wide range of environmental contaminants, such as chemical/biological contaminants and/or radioisotopes. When deployed, the AML serves the COCOM as a theater-level asset. Nuclear disablement teams are the only DoD organizations capable of assessing, exploiting, characterizing, and disabling facilities associated with the nuclear fuel cycle in semi-permissive or permissive environments. They advise commanders on the risks associated with these facilities, provide detailed information related to potential material proliferation, and can make recommendations on how to dispose of nuclear material. Note, see ATP 3-37.11 and FM 3-94 for more information on the Seaburn Command. Brigade. Seaburn brigades exist within all three components, regular Army, United States Army Reserve, and Army National Guard, and provide command and control for battalions and separate companies that have a wide range of capabilities, including Seaburn reconnaissance, decontamination, and biological detection. A Seaburn brigade is dependent on other elements for administrative, logistic, medical, and maintenance support. Note, more information about the various battalion and company capabilities can be found in Chapter 2 and ATP 3-11.36. The Seaburn Brigade provides support to Corps and echelons above Corps. It consists of a headquarters and 2 to 5 battalions. With the advice of his staff and the Corps Seaburn section, the Seaburn Brigade commander evaluates and determines the Seaburn unit support requirements for the Corps. The brigade commander may advise the Corps commander on the employment and sustainment of Seaburn assets. The Seaburn Brigade offers a range of capabilities to the theater. Units from these brigades can be task-organized to support the COCOM, subordinate joint force commanders, Army force commanders, and functional components faced with Seaburn threats or hazards. The brigade headquarters provides logistical support and facilitates the coordination of support for subordinate units. This allows the supported unit staff to concentrate on Seaburn operations and execution. Seaburn brigades lack the capability to provide logistical support to assigned units. Seaburn brigades coordinate logistical support and facilities for subordinate units, which allows the staff to focus on Seaburn operations. Offensive operations. In offensive operations, the Seaburn Brigade that is task-organized for the mission provides Seaburn assets, reconnaissance, hazard response, Seaburn response teams, to the security force. Because the security force operates well forward of the Corps main body, these Seaburn assets should be attached to the unit that operates as the security force. As the forward line of troops advances, the Seaburn Brigade allocates units to accomplish the security and stability tasks required to maintain freedom of action in the close area and support to the continuous consolidation of gains. The remainder of the brigade should be task-organized based on METTC. The command and support relationships of these task-organized Seaburn units are determined based on the ability of the brigade headquarters to coordinate support and provide command and control. Capabilities of the Seaburn Brigade include executing or transferring mission command of units assigned to the Seaburn Brigade and up to 5 subordinate chemical battalions, providing intelligence support for Seaburn operations, planning and coordinating with the division, corps, or theater army area to which they are assigned or attached, assessing Seaburn unit capabilities, utilization, and impacts on plans and operations to the division, corps, and theater army area, allocating units and resources in support of Seaburn reconnaissance, decontamination, and biological detection, operating a tactical command post and a main command post, coordinating sustainment for Seaburn operations. Defensive operations. The Seaburn Brigade plans and allocates Seaburn units based on the Corps mission and the operational and mission variables. The focus should be threefold: protect the reserve or striking force to support a decisive counterattack, provide support to units in the main battle area, and retain a flexible and responsive Seaburn force in the core support and consolidation areas. Due to an increased risk of Seaburn attack, units in the reserve or striking force require support in the form of Seaburn reconnaissance to provide early warning to commanders and decontamination support to rapidly reconstitute their combat power. Organic Seaburn assets and decontamination capabilities are used to support units in the close area, with enhancement from Seaburn units as required. Seaburn route reconnaissance is conducted along ground lines of communication from the support area to the forward line of troops to prevent the isolation of forces or early culmination of defensive operations as a result of Seaburn attacks. Seaburn units are allocated from the brigade to assess, protect, and mitigate based on the Seaburn threat to the core support and consolidation areas. Seaburn units are in general support. However, their workload is designated through area or task assignments. Requests for immediate Seaburn support flow through the core command post to the Seaburn Brigade. The Seaburn Brigade Tactical Operations Center then directs the mission or tasking to the appropriate Seaburn unit. Routine Seaburn support requests go to the core Seaburn section. The core Seaburn section analyzes the requirement. The Corps Assistant Chief of Staff Operations, G3, assigns a priority to the requirement. The prioritized requirement is passed to the Seaburn Brigade Tactical Operations Center. The Seaburn Brigade staff determines the allocation of support necessary to provide the support and issues instructions to the appropriate subordinate unit. Subordinate units are task organized according to the military decision-making process. Battalion. A Seaburn battalion supports a division or echelons above division. It consists of a headquarters and 2 to 5 Seaburn companies. The battalions exist within all three components and provide command and control for companies that have a wide range of capabilities. The Seaburn battalion depends on appropriate elements within the theater for religious, legal, force health protection, finance, and personnel and administrative services. The roles, functions, and responsibilities of the Seaburn battalion are directly affected by the command and support relationship established with the supported unit. The division commander may place attached Seaburn companies under the control of the attached Seaburn battalion. When a Seaburn battalion supports a corps instead of a Seaburn brigade, the corps Seaburn staff assumes a greater role in planning and coordinating Seaburn unit functions, to include the coordination of logistical support to the Seaburn units. The battalion advises the supported commander on the employment of the battalion assets. Offensive operations. The organization and positioning of the Seaburn Battalion is based on MDMP and the ability of the Seaburn Brigade or supported division to provide command and control and logistical support. A Seaburn Battalion is typically employed in support of a division or higher echelon. A direct support role may be the best to provide the supported unit with rapid and flexible support. A Seaburn Battalion provides command and control for 2 to 6 Seaburn companies. Capabilities of the Seaburn Battalion include executing or transitioning mission command of personnel assigned to the Seaburn Battalion headquarters and up to 5 Seaburn companies, providing intelligence support for Seaburn operations, planning and coordinating with the brigade, division, corps, or theater army area to which they are assigned or attached, assessing chemical unit capabilities, utilization, and impacts on plans and operations to the brigade, division, corps, and theater army area, operating a battalion main command post, coordinating sustainment for Seaburn operations, ensuring petroleum, oils, and lubricant distribution and special supply distribution for assigned companies. Defensive operations. Seaburn battalions are normally positioned based on MET-TC. A Seaburn battalion is typically employed in support of a division or higher echelon. Unless there are unusual circumstances, the security force does not require a Seaburn battalion headquarters. Seaburn battalions should be allocated to support the divisions that conduct the core main and supporting efforts. At least one battalion headquarters should be allocated to control Seaburn assets in the core consolidation area. The command and support relationships of the battalions that support the divisions are based on providing the supported commander with sufficient versatility to prepare his defense. The Seaburn battalion provides assets in support of the division consolidation area. The battalion staff must analyze the assigned missions/tasks and develop a support plan that defeats Seaburn usage from enemy protracted resistance and maintains strategic and operational reach to forces in close and deep areas. The battalion may place subordinate Seaburn units in general support and provide mission or task assignments, or place subordinate elements in a direct support role. The AOR, the threat, and the ability to communicate dictate which technique to use. The battalion may task organize subordinate companies to form Seaburn teams, depending on METTC. Seaburn battalions that support divisions must plan and execute Seaburn support operations in the division support area. Units that require immediate Seaburn support request it through their higher headquarters, usually one of the division's major subordinate commands. The Seaburn section analyzes and coordinates with G3 plans to determine future requirements. Based on recommendations by the Seaburn staff, the division commander issues guidance. The battalion commander executes the commander's guidance, and the division chemical section provides staff supervision. Company. The Seaburn Company consists of a headquarters and platoon capabilities, as described in ATP 3-11.36. The four basic company structures are hazard response, area support, Seaburn, and biosurveillance. Based on the enemy threat of using ground-contaminating Seaburn agents, the Seaburn Reconnaissance Platoon focuses on maintaining freedom of maneuver behind units in close combat. One section should be designated to ensure that the main and secondary routes to and through the area are clear of contamination for each unit. The selection of decontamination sites is coordinated with the supported units and higher headquarters to preclude using a key piece of terrain. Note, see ATP 3-11.36 for more information on Seaburn and Seaburn companies. Hazard response. A hazard response company provides Seaburn reconnaissance, surveillance, and decontamination in support of brigades. A hazard response company can remain task organized under a Seaburn battalion or brigade to support division or corps missions. It has the ability to locate, identify, and mark routes and boundaries around contaminated areas, operate protected within a hazard area, assess hazards in support of site exploitation, and provide field identification of known agents and materials. Their subordinate platoons conduct the following tasks: conduct Seaburn reconnaissance and surveillance, conduct operational and thorough decontamination support, conduct site assessment and characterization. The Hazard Response Company is aligned to support the BCT and its organic units. The company provides the BCT planners an accurate estimate of their capabilities to support the mission. Although it has decontamination capabilities, it doesn't have the capacity for operations that require decontamination of large numbers of equipment without additional resources. Units need to understand and plan for these limitations. Area support. An area support company provides Seaburn reconnaissance, surveillance, and decontamination support in theater and core support areas and consolidation areas. It has the ability to locate, identify, and mark routes and boundaries around contaminated areas. An area support company has a biological surveillance and monitoring capability and the means of providing support to terrain and fixed site decontamination. Their subordinate platoons conduct the following tactical tasks: conduct Seaburn reconnaissance and surveillance, conduct operational and thorough decontamination support, conduct terrain, fixed site, and aircraft decontamination. The area support company is aligned to support the Corps. The throughput of the decontamination platoon is greater for the area support company than the hazard response company because of the equipment capabilities. Biological detection. A biological Seaburn company provides biological surveillance and monitoring of key areas and critical nodes. It can monitor, sample, detect, identify, and report biological agents. Seaburn. A Seaburn company consists of specialized teams, including EOD, to provide the advice, assessment, sampling, detection, verification, render safe, packaging, and escort of Seaburn and explosive devices or hazards. When provided security from maneuver elements, Seaburn companies enable combined arms CWMD operations and sensitive site exploitation that feeds intelligence and targeting processes. Their subordinate platoons conduct the following tactical tasks: conduct Seaburn sensitive site exploitation, conduct WMD defeat, disablement, and/or disposal, mitigate Seaburn hazards, escort Seaburn samples, escort devices. Seaburn companies have varied capabilities that exist in their assigned platoons, which can be further task organized. The priority of support is to the lead maneuver units for reconnaissance and surveillance. The offensive tasks, movement to contact, attack, exploitation, and pursuit, require Seaburn companies that are task organized to support through locating and marking contaminated areas and providing assistance in decontamination to allow continued operations while limiting the spread of contamination. Decontamination elements should be prepared to augment maneuver operational decontamination efforts to maintain momentum. United States Army Special Operations Forces. The United States Army Special Operations Command mans, trains, equips, educates, organizes, sustains, and supports forces to conduct special operations across the full ROMO and spectrum of conflict in support of joint force commanders and interagency partners to meet theater and national objectives. Through an indigenous approach, Army Special Operations Forces, ARSOF, interact with other governmental organizations and foreign militaries regularly to shape the environment for Army operations. Operations to shape provide opportunities for conventional forces and SOF interdependence, integration, interoperability, and information sharing. ARSOF is postured to assist in detecting and defeating proliferators and their networks through the ARSOF critical capabilities and during ARSOF core activities. If adequately integrated into CWMD missions and large-scale combat operations, ARSOF provides capabilities that support CWMD operations. Special Operations CWMD operations include WMD interdiction. WMD interdiction is aimed at the early defeat of an adversary WMD program before it matures and focuses primarily on moving targets. Interdiction operations track, intercept, search, divert, seize, or otherwise stop the transit of WMD, its delivery systems, or related materials, including dual-use technologies and expertise. CWMD operations are actions to disrupt, neutralize, or destroy a WMD threat before it can be used, or to deter the subsequent use of such weapons. ARSOF operations and dependencies on seaborne forces or operations must be considered early in joint and Army planning processes. ARSOF does not have the logistics support to operate long-term in a seaborne environment and must rely on the Army to provide some seaborne capabilities, such as thorough decontamination and individual protective equipment / personal protective equipment resupply. Note, see ADRP 3-05 for detailed information on ARSOF operational tenets and interdependence. See ATP 3-05.11 and ATP 3-11.24 for more information about special operations in seaborne environments. Seaborne staff. Seaborne staffs or elements are the commander's subject matter experts, SMEs, in all levels of command. Seaborne staff sections exist at the Army Service Component Command, Corps, Division, Brigades, Special Forces Group, and Battalion levels. The Seaborne Staff Section or Element performs the same functions at most echelons of command. In addition to common staff responsibilities, Seaborne staff-specific responsibilities fall into the four basic activities of the operations process: planning, preparation, execution, and continuous assessment. Seaborne staff elements perform many of the same basic duties at most echelons of command, as described in ATP 3-11.36. They provide the necessary expertise in understanding seaborne conditions to provide advice to the commander on the necessary information collection, seaborne defense, and response actions to take while conducting offensive tasks. They also integrate information collected from all tasks to gain a better understanding of the seaborne environment and its potential impact on operations. The seaborne staff integrates into IPB, bringing their area of expertise to the process. IPB is integral to targeting, risk management, and the information collection process. Seaborne vulnerability assessments are the Seaborne staff contributions to the IPB process. They bring an understanding of how enemy Seaborne COAs will affect the OE and the positioning of Seaborne assets. In identifying intelligence gaps during the IPB process, information requirements are established. The Seaborne staff helps define the OE by identifying the effects of operational and mission variables on operations. Staff planners often utilize PEMEZI PT as an analytical starting point to assess the OE, gain a better understanding of a geographic area, and subsequently apply that understanding to achieve objectives. Understanding the OE and the threat leads to the information collection strategy and targeting of specific enemy seaborne capabilities. The seaborne staff describes the effects of the identified variables, threat evaluations, and enemy COAs. Terrain and weather also have a profound effect on any seaborne effects that might occur. Civil considerations reflect the impact that industrial facilities, storage sites, and large populations have on seaborne assessments. The Assistant Chief of Staff, Civil Affairs Operations, G9, and Associated Civil Affairs Forces can provide the most up-to-date information on the civil component in the OE. The seaborne staff at the Corps and Division level are primarily involved in the orders process and assist in the development of Annex C, Operations, and Annex E, Protection. The protection annex includes protection considerations for seaborne hazards, is the result of initial threat and vulnerability assessments, and provides a guide to subordinate units on seaborne protection guidance. The Seaburn staff functions include the following items and are further described in ATP 3-11.36 and FM 60. Conduct Seaburn threat and vulnerability assessments. Recommend courses of action to minimize friendly and civilian vulnerability. Coordinate across the entire staff while assessing the effects of enemy Seaburn-related attacks on current and future operations. Coordinate Army Health System support requirements for Seaburn operations with the surgeon. Establish personnel recovery coordination measures for Seaburn environments. Advise the commander on the employment of Seaburn assets and capabilities. Manage the chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear warning and reporting system, Seaburn WRS. Model Seaburn hazards to assist in gaining hazard awareness and understanding of a Seaburn event. Advise the commander on the effects of Seaburn hazards. Assess weather and terrain data to determine the environmental effects on potential Seaburn hazards. Assist subordinate Seaburn staffs and units. Incorporate Seaburn battalion or brigade staff into MDMP, rehearsals, and commander's updates. Integrate into working groups as designated, protection, information collection, and targeting. Manage chemical defense equipment. Assist units with acquiring medical Seaburn defense materiel. Seaburn staffs at brigade, battalion, and SOF units focus on support to the commander's scheme of maneuver to support the commander's intent and concept of operation. Brigade Special Forces Group and Battalion Seaburn officers and NCOs integrate Seaburn assets into mission planning and ensure that organic Seaburn assets are trained and synchronized to support maneuver units. Seaburn Brigade coordination elements and battalion staffs should integrate into MDMP, rehearsals, and commander's updates with Corps and Division Seaburn staff. Additionally, they train and provide guidance to Seaburn specialists at the company, battery, or troop/detachment level. Seaburn staffs focus on assisting and advising the commander, contribute to timely decision-making by the commander, and supervise the execution of decisions. They advise and make recommendations based on their running estimates, enabling the commander to assess and manage risk and to consider which vulnerabilities to accept or mitigate. Seaburn staffs build and maintain running estimates to track and record information focused on their specific area of expertise and how Seaburn elements are postured to support future operations. Examples of facts and assumptions that may impact operations from the Seaburn perspective include adversarial Seaburn employment and the effects of Seaburn hazards, potential weather effects, named areas of interest with suspected Seaburn hazards, industrial facilities that could create hazards if impacted by collateral damage, friendly and partner nation Seaburn unit status. Seaburn staffs support the commander in communicating decisions and intentions through plans and orders. The commander's activities of understand, visualize, describe, and direct are supported by the running estimates provided by Seaburn staffs and the subject matter expertise provided by Seaburn forces at every echelon. See Appendix D for an example of a Seaburn running staff estimate. Seaburn staffs at all levels must frequently work together to monitor, improve, and sustain Seaburn training, unit readiness, and standard operating procedures. Seaburn staffs also plan and coordinate the employment of supporting Seaburn units. Threat assessments. IPB allows the commander to visualize the enemy situation and discern the enemy commander's probable intent. Identifying threat capabilities, strengths, and weaknesses, and assessing intent are critical to providing commanders early and accurate warnings of threat actions, which is necessary to ensure operational success. Recognizing adversary capabilities, setting the conditions to win future conflicts, and supporting United States and partner nation capabilities to protect themselves rely on accurate assessments. The Seaburn staff must assist in the overall Seaburn threat template and identify vulnerabilities to the mission and forces. Seaburn staffs maintain running estimates, continuously updating threat assessments as information is received. These assessments help to understand the current OE and to counter Seaburn threats. The threat assessment process is continuous and integrated into the operations process. It informs the commander's CCIR and determines where information collection capabilities should be allocated. Assessments help the commander develop, adapt, and refine plans. Seaburn staffs provide expertise to the G2/S2 to answer questions about Seaburn hazards that limit the commander's options. Seaburn threat assessments help estimate the probability of the use of WMD, which is input for the vulnerability analysis process. The Seaburn threat assessment helps the commander understand the presence of Seaburn threats and hazards, such as TIMs. The threat assessment provides a framework for mission planning. The threat assessment process is continuous and directly tied to the commander's decisions throughout the conduct of operations. Note, see ATP 3-11.36 for more information on CBRN assessment activities. Example impact of threat assessment. CBRN staff at the division level integrated into the planning process analyze the likelihood that the enemy will employ CBRN threats. They prepare a threat assessment that a potential hazard exists based on a history of the enemy employing CBRN weapons at wet gap crossing sites and breaching operations to defend key terrain. The staff develops courses of action to provide an early warning of a CBRN attack. An information collection plan is developed to acquire more information about potential CBRN attack locations. CBRN reconnaissance assets are integrated into the collection plan and tasked to answer CCIR. The organic heavy CBRN reconnaissance platoon assigned to a brigade armored reconnaissance squadron is assigned the named area of interest, NAI, covering a wet gap crossing site. The nuclear, biological, and chemical reconnaissance vehicle platoon, nested with a cavalry troop, establishes a listing post/observation post within the range of its sensors. During operations, the nuclear, biological, and chemical reconnaissance vehicle platoon submits a CBRN 1 report of a suspected CBRN attack through indirect fires at the NAI. Offensive operations. CBRN staff considerations for the offensive operations include focusing CBRN defense to provide the commander flexibility and facilitate synchronization, planning operational decontamination as necessary, planning thorough decontamination after the mission is complete, selecting decontamination sites throughout the zone, advising on the lowest possible protective posture based on mission-oriented protective posture, MOP, level analysis, identifying known or suspected areas of contamination, focusing CBRN reconnaissance assets to retain the freedom of maneuver, prioritizing CBRN assets to lead maneuver forces, balancing vulnerability of the force against the need for mass and speed, identifying possible contaminated areas and possible bypass routes, considering the possibility of increasing enemy CBRN attacks as the attack progresses, identifying NAIs as part of the information collection plan, integrating CBRN assets into the reconnaissance and surveillance scheme. CBRN support to intelligence. CBRN forces support the intelligence warfighting function at every echelon. At corps and division levels, CBRN staffs contribute to the intelligence preparation of the battlefield process. These CBRN staff officers lend their CBRN subject matter expertise to developing estimates on the threat to ADCOA development. The CBRN staffs assist with allocating the limited CBRN assets available to maximize the effectiveness of CBRN reconnaissance, surveillance, and decontamination. At the battalion level, CBRN staff continue to be a part of MDMP and have a more direct involvement in the liaison between CBRN assets and maneuver force mission planning. At the tactical level, CBRN forces act on the plans for information collection planned by the staffs. CBRN reconnaissance efforts are directed toward answering CCIRs. Assessments of WMD sites feed information back into the intelligence process. Staffs take the results of reconnaissance efforts to update estimates and revise information collection efforts. Defensive operations. Commanders and staffs deliberately plan and integrate protection capabilities to protect the force, preserve combat power, reduce risk, and mitigate vulnerabilities. Protecting the force supports the ability to regain the initiative. All three defensive tasks, area defense, mobile defense, and retrograde, use terrain as force multipliers. Terrain influences the tempo of enemy attacks and provides the defender with cover and concealment. The CBRN staff must understand and communicate the impacts terrain has for protection from and influence of CBRN conditions. Staff considerations include focusing CBRN defense to provide the commander versatility and synchronization, operating in the lowest possible MOP level during the preparation phase, then considering a higher MOP for the actual battle. Selecting decontamination sites throughout the support area to support the defensive scheme. Conducting operational decontamination as necessary for survivability. Focusing CBRN reconnaissance assets on repositioning and withdrawal routes, passage points, and passage lanes. Identifying alternate routes if passage routes become contaminated. Designating passage points and lanes for the movement of contaminated elements. Balancing vulnerability of the force against the need for mass, agility, and depth. Understanding the enemy order of battle and doctrinal templates as they relate to CBRN use. Executing thorough decontamination as necessary after the battle. Organic CBRN teams and platoons. CBRN capabilities exist down to the unit level. Reconnaissance and surveillance platoons exist in BCTs, and unit CBRN teams are formed at companies. Unit Seaburn Teams. Duties of Unit Seaburn Teams are not necessarily performed by soldiers with Military Occupational Specialty 74 Delta. At company, battery, and troop levels, trained Seaburn specialists provide advice and support to operations in Seaburn environments to the commander. These soldiers integrate Seaburn conditions into unit mission essential tasks to mitigate impacts on unit operations. The unit-level Seaburn specialist maintains company equipment, training, and programs for Seaburn operations and can form the basis for training unit teams to conduct Seaburn detection, survey for contamination during AA site selection, and conduct decontamination. Unit Seaburn teams are trained and ready to send Seaburn 1, spot reports, or other reports required by unit standard operating procedures. Note, see FM6-99 for Seaburn and spot report formats. To facilitate movement and conduct maneuver, unit Seaburn specialists can assist in developing unit-level Seaburn defense plans. Assets within the organization can provide operational decontamination, augment detailed equipment decontamination, and conduct detailed troop decontamination. Additional support for thorough decontamination can be requested from Seaburn units. Reconnaissance and surveillance platoons. The Army maintains two variants of the Seaburn RNS platoons in the modular force design. The primary differences are the way in which they conduct missions and the vehicles they use to conduct those missions. The Seaburn RNS platoon Light primarily conducts RNS by using the dismounted reconnaissance sets, kits, and outfits. They are capable of conducting missions in urban environments where maneuver is confined. The Seaburn RNS platoon Heavy conducts mounted reconnaissance using a Seaburn reconnaissance vehicle. This more mobile platform allows heavy platoons to cover more terrain in support of route and area reconnaissance. Other organizations. There are numerous Seaburn organizations that have unique and specialized capabilities which exist across the force. Seaburn reconnaissance and decontamination teams exist with special operations forces. Laboratory capabilities and nuclear disablement teams are a part of the Seaburn Command, CATP 3-37.11. The following list and paragraphs provide an example of some of the organizations with ties to Seaburn operations. Maneuver Enhancement Brigades, MEBs, CFM 3-81. Other service Seaburn elements, Air Force Radiological Assessment Team, Marine Corps Chemical Biological Incident Response Force. Interagency partners, mobile uranium facilities, mobile plutonium facilities within the Department of Energy. Reachback and technical support. The Edgewood Chemical Biological Center provides reachback technical support for chemical and biological hazard information. The United States Army Medical Research and Materiel Command, USAM-RMC, operates labs that provide operational, strategic, and reachback capabilities for chemical and biological CB threats. The United States Army Research Institute of Chemical Defense, USAM-RICD, focuses on chemical warfare agents and training on the medical management of chemical casualties. The United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Disease, USAMRID, focuses on biowarfare agents and infectious pathogens. The Seaburn Information Resource Center provides current and authoritative information on the DoD Chemical and Biological Defense Program through the Information Resource Center and the Joint Acquisition Seaburn Knowledge System. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, provides expertise via reachback when the capabilities required exceed the capabilities of the organic Seaburn staff. DTRA supports combatant commands, United States military and partnered nations, the federal government, academic institutions, first responders, and the international community. The National Ground Intelligence Center, NGIC, is the Defense Department's primary producer of ground forces intelligence. NGIC has highly skilled specialists and other technical specialists who evaluate the capabilities and performance data on virtually every weapons system used by a foreign ground force, including chemical and biological weapons and future weapons concepts. The United States Army Nuclear and Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Agency, USANCA, is part of the Army G357 and is a field operating agency. USANCA provides United States nuclear employment guidance to ground forces and CWMD planning expertise for the implementation of Army CWMD strategy and policy at the core level and above. Note, CATP 3-05.11, ATP 3-11.24, and ATP 3-11.36 for more information on other Seaburn forces, other service Seaburn forces, and other reachback agencies. Section 2, Training. Commanders and their units, down to the lowest private at the tactical level, must be capable of surviving Seaburn attacks and continuing operations in hazardous conditions. More information about the basic proficiency skills for individuals and teams can be found in Appendix E. Training is the interaction among three separate but overlapping training domains, operational, institutional, and self-development, synchronized to achieve the goal of trained soldiers, leaders, and ready units. The content of this publication focuses on the operational training domain and building Seaburn readiness. The operational training domain. The operational domain encompasses training activities that unit leaders schedule and individual units and organizations undertake. Unit leaders are responsible for the proficiency of their subordinates, subordinate leaders, teams/crews, and the unit as a whole to assess, protect, and mitigate Seaburn hazards within the scope of their missions. Subordinate leaders assist commanders in achieving training readiness proficiency goals by ensuring that training is conducted to standard, with Seaburn as a complex mission variable, in support of the unit mission essential task list. The mission essential task list-based strategies are known as the Combined Arms Training Strategy Database and synchronized with missions to build and sustain unit readiness. Commanders use their standardized mission essential task list with Seaburn conditions incorporated into the training to achieve greater proficiency in a contested Seaburn environment. Unit training plans use a crawl, walk, run approach that progressively and systematically builds on successful task performance before progressing to more complex tasks. This approach enables a logical succession of enabling skills and knowledge from basic to advanced tasks and conditions for individual, crew, and collective training. Training must be challenging, integrating increasing levels of complexity, stress, and duration against conventional, hybrid, and asymmetric threats in the OE to return units to mastery at Seaburn operations. Realistic training with limited resources demands that commanders focus their unit training efforts to maximize repetitions under varying conditions to build proficiency. Readiness is built on the ability to be proficient regardless of the conditions, to include Seaburn environmental conditions. Operating during Seaburn contamination should be a training condition, not simply a task. This means that while commanders focus their training efforts on primary battle tasks, Seaburn training is integrated as a condition, not as a separate event. Training should incorporate hazards, including improvised explosive devices, Seaburn effects, the impacted population, cultures and languages, key leaders' decisions, joint and domestic partners, and special operations forces. It should also portray the impact that decisions will have on mission success. Note, see FM70 for more information. Vignette. This training requirement includes the requirement to conduct a live fire while wearing protective equipment. Rather than requiring the unit to put on a mask and gloves to fire, the unit incorporates a scenario of reacting to a chemical attack into squad and platoon qualification tables. After the unit achieves MOP 4 and uses the Seaburn warning and reporting system to report the incident, the unit must continue the mission. The unit completes the requirement for firing weapons while wearing protective equipment. Upon completion, the unit conducts unmasking procedures CSTP-21-24-SMCT before giving the all clear. Training ideology. The anticipated OE will require Army forces to operate as combined arms teams in joint operations and with multinational forces. Similarly, Seaburn units should frequently integrate training with other combined arms units, building habitual relationships that endure during large-scale combat operations. Combined training exercises require organizing and synchronizing with increasing complexity to stress the rigors of operating in a Seaburn environment. Combined arms training allows planning to address the additional considerations of Seaburn hazards, from best practices, lessons learned, and task organizations to align with mission requirements. Corps and division Seaburn cells advise and assist brigade Seaburn staffs with training, providing best practices, and assisting in planning and resourcing. The division Seaburn cell also provides oversight and support to Seaburn troop schools, providing reach back to the Seaburn school. Seaburn staffs at brigades and battalions, along with company, battery, and troop Seaburn specialists, provide commanders with Seaburn training oversight, advisement of Seaburn readiness, and training recommendations. Battalion and brigade Seaburn staffs provide frequent staff assistance visits to ensure that unit Seaburn rooms are maintained to organizational inspection program standards. To increase interoperability between units and Seaburn reconnaissance and decontamination, Seaburn staffs and Seaburn unit commanders should coordinate with one another, enhancing training. Company commanders and first sergeants leverage the company, battery, or troop Seaburn specialists to maintain Seaburn equipment readiness in unit Seaburn rooms and to incorporate Seaburn training into training plans. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants should conduct Seaburn readiness inspections and incorporate Seaburn as a variable during collective platoon training in walk and run phases. Chlorobenzylidine malononitrile, CS chambers, to build mass confidence are also opportunities for soldiers to train on Seaburn-focused warrior tasks and battle drills. Individual Seaburn tasks that ensure the survivability of soldiers are trained by unit NCOs in teams and squads. Training programs differ to some extent between headquarters services and nations. However, training within North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO programs, and partner nations is encouraged so that a similar model is used each time, ensuring a common approach and mutual support for achieving interoperability. In multinational training, knowledge of the Seaburn defense capability and practices of other nations is required.